Hour two on a Tuesday starts right now here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. I'm Chelsea Messenger. He's Michael Jenkins. And if you stick with us over the next couple of segments, here's what's on tap. In 2 minutes, we get to our ACC season preview. Does Clemson cakewalk once again to the college football playoff? At 7:20, we go on to our daily baseball bets. And then later on in the show, we'll discuss that picture of Justin Herbert and Madison Beer. If you don't know who Madison Beer is, that's fine. We will walk you through why this relationship or alleged relationship could be significant to the Chargers. It's all coming up next here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. All right, Jenks. So I got an email yesterday that made me audibly shout, "What?" So I got an email from YouTube TV, which I know you are a subscriber to YouTube TV as well. So you probably got this same email. And the header was an update on our partnership with Fox. And I said, oh boy, I've seen these emails before and they are never good. So it said, we want to be transparent about our ongoing discussions with Fox. If we aren't able to reach an agreement with Fox by August 27th, their content may become available. Unavailable, excuse me. If this happens, it'll impact channels like Fox, Fox News, and Fox Sports. Great. Football season is about to start. I don't know if you knew this, but there are some pretty big games on Fox when it comes to college football and also when it comes to the NFL. So this is not great. And oh, by the way, you're thinking, oh, well, are they going to offer us anything for our trouble? Well, if their content becomes unavailable for an extended period of time, we'll offer our subscribers a $10 credit. I don't want a $10 credit. I want to be able to watch football. So, Jenks, I'm not feeling great about this. I feel like sometimes we have had these scares before. I think they did this with CBS right before March Madness, and they did eventually work it out. So another contract dispute before the football season gets started. I will say at least this is not Micah Parsons related. But how are we feeling? Confidence level in YouTube TV to reach a deal with Fox?
I have a message for YouTube TV and Fox. Right here. Right here. Work it out. I don't care about your $10 credit. I don't want a $20 credit. Okay? I don't want a credit. I want you guys to work it out. Okay? I need this. We need this. You know whose side I'm taking here? The side of the people. We have Texas, Ohio State happening this weekend. And by the way, it's week one of college football, and you guys are playing a game of grab ass because you can't figure it out. An agreement, figure it out. Figure it out. I've waited all summer for this. I need the Horns and Buckeyes at noon. In fact, I made my plans yesterday. As a matter of fact, about 2 hours ago, just before I came in, I ordered a t-shirt, a Texas t-shirt, specifically for this game. And because I procrastinated, we're not talking about that, I had to pay extra shipping to get it here in time, and I'm wearing that shirt, and I'm watching this game because you guys are going to go in a room and figure it out. Don't send me this email late last night and freak me out for no reason. I waited all summer for this. Figure it out.
I want to know what this t-shirt looks like because I hang out with a lot of like moms. So I imagine like this like sparkly in Comic Sans, like Etsy shop t-shirt, which I know that's not what it is. I'm sure it's very masculine. But I just had that quick thought. But also like they can't keep yanking our chain right before these big sports events.
Yeah.
Because like, can I sue for emotional distress? The fact that they did this before March Madness, now they're doing this before football season. Like, what's next? The Masters? Like, I don't even want to put it in the universe because now they're probably going to do that. I'm like, oh, we need to renegotiate with CBS Sports again. This is terrible. Like, YouTube TV, you're skating on thin ice. And here's the problem is that everybody is going to, like, these new streaming things because I think part of the problem is it sounds like Fox is trying to start its own platform. Like, did you read further into this email?
Oh, yeah.
It's not great. Like, ESPN started something nonsensical that I think a lot of companies are going to try to do. Like, I don't know when we're going to have a full circle moment of going back to cable TV where it's like, hey, getting everything a la carte sucks. I wonder if there's a way that we can prevent this. Back to cable. So, I don't know. It feels like a dangerous road we're going down.
Well, I just want you to know that my shirt says I'm a man's man in sequins. And it's really, it's really, that's why it's, you know, I paid the extra money for shipping because it's going to be handmade. Obviously, I only get my shirts off of Etsy. So I'm excited about it. I'm very excited. And I'll probably put, you know, some oil stains or something, you know, rough it up a little bit. I don't want it to look too new when I show up at the party on Saturday.
You can cut the sleeves. You can do those little fringy things.
I only wear sleeveless stuff. Only sleeveless. The only reason I wear sleeves on this show is because Andrew makes me. Otherwise, forget it. It would be tank tops and cut off shirts.
Yeah, sun's out, guns out, baby. And I think the weather's supposed to be great this week. All right, so we do have football starting this week, and we do have football starting in the ACC. I understand that everybody wants to talk about the SEC and the Big Ten, but the ACC certainly has some contenders as well, especially at the top. A lot of people really like Clemson this year, and they are your favorites to win the ACC at minus 110. Win total 9.5. I do think there are maybe three or four other teams that can contend with Clemson. Miami is 4-1 this year. We know they have Carson Beck. We know they had a great squad last year, but huge questions on their defense, which they're saying, hey, we revamped our defense. We went to the transfer portal. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. I feel like every team says this every single year. Louisville is supposed to be good again this year as well. Plus 750. They've got Miller Moss coming over from USC at quarterback. SMU, a team that played in the college football playoff just a year ago, is plus 850, win total of 8.5. And then some people are high on Georgia Tech. They're 12-1 and a win total of 7.5. Remember, they went to Dublin last year and won in a thriller, I believe, against, who was it, Florida State? So they started their season off great last year. I think that's probably the contenders for me. I don't think I can really make a case for anybody else in the ACC. Jinx, is there anybody else you want to throw in the contenders category?
No, I'm looking. I think SMU is sort of interesting, and I can give you a few reasons why. Like, Rhett Lashley, I think, is a hell of a head coach, and Kevin Jennings really came on at the end of last year before just losing his mind in that Penn State game. I remember that vividly because I thought, SMU can keep this within the number, and then just Jennings just, like, he just didn't know what he was doing. He just couldn't handle the crowd noise. Wasn't a good performance from him, even though he is a good quarterback. And they got some interesting guys in the portal who can catch passes out of the backfield. TJ Harden out of UCLA. They'll put up a ton of points. They're fun to watch. But the problem is they're just not Clemson. Like, Clemson really is far and away the best program in this conference, which everyone knows. They might win it all. Like, I'm big on Clemson this year. And they have so much talent back. Like, Kate Klubnik could win the Heisman. There's no question about it. And receiver, they got Antonio Williams back. They have Bryant Wesco Jr. back. Tyler Brown is there. So he's got, I believe, what, three of his top four starters from last year. Most of that offensive line is back. And then on the defensive line, they have some studs as well, particularly T.J. Parker, who is just one of the best players in the country. I mean, at every level, Clemson looks like a national title contender. So at minus 110, I have to say that's kind of don't mind that price. I don't see anyone catching Clemson. I'm surprised you're not paying more minus money, which kind of sounds strange when you're talking about winning a conference, but they really are far and away better than everyone else.
Right, and I think their schedule kind of lines up for it. I will say, if you're high on Clemson to win the national championship, you should probably do it before the first game of the season, because it is a big one to start the year against LSU. And I think this is an important point to make when you're talking about futures. Timing is everything. Like, I understand we're doing a season preview because the season's about to start, but I think some of these bets you need to make sooner rather than later, especially these teams that start the season with a big game. And conversely, you can look at other teams that, you know, maybe you could wait and say, okay, I think they're going to lose their first game of the season because I don't know about you, Jenks, but I have questions about Miami. Like, Carson Beck is an entrenched veteran. You know, he's played for forever, it feels like. But I still have big questions about their defense, and they start the season against Notre Dame. So I think I kind of like Notre Dame, even though they are the road team in that situation. So I think if you like Miami, you wait and maybe bet on their win total when it's adjusted after that game. Or I guess you could take the under, but the rest of their schedule, you know, it lines up pretty well, the fact that they play a ton of games in the state of Florida. Like, I don't think they leave the state of Florida until October 17th when they play Louisville, but they do play Florida. That should be a tough game. Florida State, I have questions about them, as does everybody else. But if we are talking about quarterbacks and outside of the realm of contenders, keep your eye on Darian Mensah for Duke. He's being paid $4 million a year, and we know that Duke has surprised people before. I'm not saying that they can win the conference. I am just saying that they're a scrappy team that maybe you take the points when they're playing some. There's the bigger contenders in the conference. I know Haynes King is also somebody who has gotten some headlines at Georgia Tech as well. Jenks, I know you're probably not a Haynes King fan. Didn't he come from Texas A&M?
He did. I used to hate him, but now I really like him a lot. And he does a great job now.
Oh,
yeah.
He's cured.
Well, yeah. You know, you got to get people. This is a country of second chances. And I'm like, all right, if you go elsewhere, all right, I like you now. And he's done so much better at Georgia Tech. Like, he's really established himself as one of the better players in college football. Very exciting player. Of course, had that huge win last year over Miami. I just want to go back to Miami for a second because I think isn't it Carson Beck? Isn't that the problem with Miami? Which I know it's not the only problem. But last year, their issue was their secondary, where how many games, I mean, now you're going to be a Cam Ward fan because he's a Titan. How many games outside of that Georgia Tech one did Cam Ward save the season by making a great play or bringing Miami back late or throwing a deep pass, whatever it was? Like, it was a lot of times they would just get involved in shootouts, and it was because they had Cam Ward at quarterback. So they can't afford to do that again, and they tried to address that. They brought in Corey Heatherman from Minnesota to try and revamp that defense, and they brought in a lot of new players. They're going to be really stout on the defensive line. Like, teams are going to have a very hard time running the ball on Miami. But they revamped that secondary, and they're learning a new system, and the secondary was the real weakness last season. So if they get in the same spot this year where teams are able to go deep on them or able to put up points, I'm not really confident that now you have Carson Beck being the guy that needs to lead you back again and again and again, because he'll look great and then all of a sudden, you know, throw sort of this mindless pick.
Yeah, I don't trust Carson Beck that much. I feel like with guys who have trouble throwing interceptions in big moments, like, that's something that feels hard to cure for me. Like, if you're a bad decision-making quarterback, that's not something that, like, immediately leaves you after one offseason or a change to a different school. I will say, looking at the quarterbacks in the ACC, it's a pretty good crop. You know, and there's a lot of guys who are returning. So if you look at it from that standpoint, you know, they have a list of, like, ranking. Like, Cade Klubnik is one of the favorites to win the Heisman, and I think he has a really good shot at winning it. Carson Beck, which we just discussed, I don't know about that. Kevin Jennings, who has a good track record with the exception of a few playoff games. Haynes King. We go to Miller Moss, who's played, like, it feels like 15 seasons. And then Darian Mensah at Duke. So I know it doesn't have the depth of the SEC, but I do think there's some wild cards here, because we know if you have a good quarterback in college, it can cure a lot of problems. It feels like, you know, those advertisements for, what is it, Flex Seal, where he puts, like, the sticker on the water?
Yes.
Like, we've seen this. Yeah. Like, in college football, if you have a great quarterback, it can cure a lot of problems, like we saw with Cam Ward last year.
Yeah.
So I do think that there are a few teams that could maybe contend. But in the end, I do think the team that goes to the college football playoff out of the ACC is Clemson. Do we see another team going to the college football playoff? Do you think the ACC can get two teams in?
Maybe. Maybe by virtue of the fact that I feel like this conference is a little top-heavy. But then again, maybe it's not. But it kind of is, really. I mean, you got Clemson, Miami, Louisville, SMU, and then there's a drop, right? Like, Georgia Tech might be kind of a dark horse, I guess. Florida State has fallen off in a big way, which is just crazy. I mean, a couple of years ago, they were just gangbusters, and here they are sitting at 25-1 with a win total of 6.5. Like, what a fall. Mm. But because it's sort of top-heavy, then, you know, it's not the strongest conference, so I think you probably could see a Miami or Louisville, you know, maybe an SMU, one of those teams slip in as one of the lower seeds.
Yeah, I think I'm also going to take the win total for Clemson, over 9.5. We didn't even discuss, Dabo Swinney used to be on top of the mountaintop of best coaches in college football. I still think he is a great coach. All right, coming up next, switching gears to baseball, our favorite daily plays on the slate. Come your way next here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. Welcome back. It is Tuesday, August 26th, here on the show. And in a few minutes, we'll get to our favorite baseball plays of the day. So Labor Day weekend's coming up, which I'm excited because, Jenks, I believe we both have Labor Day off.
Yeah.
But I am a little sad that summer's over. But, man, can I not wait to decorate my stoop. Christian Girl Autumn is almost in full effect. So let me ask, is Catherine super into, like, decorating and homemaking and fall as I am?
I wouldn't say she's into fall, but she is on a roll right now. Like, on a roll. Because I told you we were sort of redoing our bedroom. Not redoing, it just needed to be done.
And refreshed.
So we got it needed to be refreshed for sure. Mm-hmm. So we had the paint done, we got the curtains in, we have the bedding in, we ordered a picture or two to go above the bed. So Catherine has been, like, on a roll where, like, she'll be working because she's working from home for the next couple weeks, and then she'll disappear. I'm like, what? Where'd she go? And then I go upstairs, and she's reorganizing the closet. And then she's downstairs working. I go in the kitchen, whatever. I'm working on the show. I turn around. We're in the same office. She's gone. I go upstairs. She's looking at whether the bedding matches the curtains the way she wants it to. So she's just in the zone right now. Like, completely in the zone. We got a rug that we ordered. We got to put that down. Anyway, so I was like, honey, we are going to finish it this week. She's like, I'm just so ready. We're so close. I was like, we're going to get it done. But yeah, right now, not fall, but as far as, like, sort of redecorating or finishing this project. Yeah, she's right there.
I feel like home decorating and, like, interior design is one of those hobbies that once you get into it, it's very easy to lose yourself and be like,
yeah,
money is no object. I really want this cabinet. Like, I feel like that has to be, like, one of the best influencer jobs to have. Because, like, think of the commissions on the things you sell. Like, furniture. I don't know when the last time you bought furniture is.
Last week.
Why is it so expensive?
Yeah, it was crazy. Remember I was telling you the story of the guy lifting this furniture up? Crazy expensive, yeah. So all that came in. Like, it's just, it looks like a completely different place, which is great. That's what we wanted. But, yeah, it can get pricey really quick. And we looked at each other and we're like, you know, we are saving for a wedding, right? Like, we need to do that. So just FYI, we're getting married in April.
We're going to have it on this couch.
Let's just, right. We might be married in the living room at this point. Maybe in this bedroom.
The older I get, the more I realize, like, the hobbies and things I like require a lot of money.
Yes.
Like, I told you how the algorithm on my Instagram now thinks I'm, like, reverting back to a horse girl. But, like, you talk about expensive hobbies.
Oh, God.
Being a horse person, like, horses are not cheap. The upkeep is insane. You have to pay boarding if you don't have somewhere to keep them. And, like, think about, like, vet costs for dogs. Like, those aren't cheap. Think of what you would pay for a horse doctor. It's way more.
I guess, like, when I see someone with a horse, I'm like, well, you have a lot of money. And I'm not
they
saying...
They have family money.
Yeah. Like, there's family. If you have a horse, then you know, like, I was watching some crime documentary, shocking, and this girl was like, it was Dateline, and the guy was like, so you had your stepfather or your parent here gifted you a horse. She goes, I had three horses. And I was like, oh my God, you had three horses as a teenager? Yeah. And I was like, okay, a lot of money there. Yeah. I can't even imagine the upkeep.
Yeah. I think I miss the days when, like, you'd be happy with, like, because, like, I have a 5-year-old. So, like, she's happy when we go to the store and I buy her, like, a little toy that's, like, $6. Like, I miss those days. Now, as an adult, like, every cool hobby is expensive. Like, oh, you want to redecorate your house? Oh, it's expensive. Oh, you want to be a horse girl? That's really expensive, too. So, Jenks, the more I look into things, the more I realize that hobby horse girl might have been onto something. Because that's the cheaper way to go if you can't afford horses. You just get that fake horse that has the long broomstick attached.
Yeah, I tell you what, she figured that out a long time ago. She's like, go ahead, spend that money on those thoroughbreds. I got a stick and a horse, and I'm hopping around having the time of my life.
The hobby horse. What a weird recurring theme we have on the show, bringing her up. But bless her. She loves what she does. All right, Jenks, let's get to the baseball slate today. And if you are going to be betting on baseball anyway, might as well use a boost token over at BetMGM. Swing big on your next MLB parlay. Use this parlay boost token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits only at BetMGM. All right, so yesterday I talked about my first impression roses because I'm sure you're like me. You look at the slate and you kind of see, okay, which one kind of speaks to me? So let me ask you today, what were the games that you first investigated? You say, okay, I like this pitching matchup. I like these teams. Who gets the first impression rose for you today?
You know, this is going to be a weird one. I like the first five under between the Nationals and the Yankees.
Ooh.
Is that a bad play?
Explain.
Here's the thing. Well, so here's the thing. Mackenzie Gore is going for the Nats, and I feel like the only time you can bet the Nationals is if you want to bet on an under or the Nationals to steal some plus money, it has to be when Mackenzie Gore is on the mound. That's it, right? And so he doesn't have a winning record overall or on the road, only 3-6 away from D.C. But his ERA on the road, 3.59. The Yankees and their bats, just like we saw against the Red Sox, are just all over the place. Luis Gil, in his sophomore season, was not great early on, but now he's put together a nice string of starts. Four runs over his last 15 2/3 innings, and the Nationals, not a good team in the first five. They are bottom 10. So I think even if the Yankees get a couple off Mackenzie Gore, I don't know if the Nats will hit Luis Gil, but does this worry you? It worries me. First five number is 5. First five under 5 is minus 125. And I feel like whenever we get a 5, it's almost too good to be true.
It's like when a black cat walks in front of you. You're like, uh-oh, what's going on with that? I think some of it is due to the fact that the Yankees have been scoring a lot of runs lately. They scored 10 last night against the Nationals. That game was not close. I think it was 10-0. And then the Nationals scored some later on in the game. Game before that, the Yankees scored 7. I know they looked terrible in those other games against the Red Sox, but maybe there's a little hint of that. But yesterday, the starting pitcher was Brad Lord, who is a far cry from Mackenzie Gore, who I would say is probably the ace of the staff. Like, is he not? Like, I know he's not, like, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, but at one point, he was leading the league in strikeouts. Like, I don't think that's the case anymore, but he is a solid pitcher. So if there is ever a time to do it, maybe it's today, but it wouldn't get my first impression, Rose. So, like, I feel like that was kind of a dark horse. I didn't see you going that way. One of my hypotheses would be, okay, are we on the Blue Jays again today? I know the price is a little steep at minus 190. I think I saw this at minus 175 in some other shops, but you'd have to play on the run line or you'd have to go first five in some capacity. But Jenks, this is one of your easy winners from yesterday. Yeah. Are you going to continue to ride the Blue Jays train?
I am. I found them on the money line this morning at minus 166.
Expensive hobbies.
Expensive hobbies. Yeah. It's close. But here's the thing. I think if you take the Blue Jays on the run line, you'll be fine. Right now, that's plus 120. I'm thinking about money line minus 166. I don't know. But here's the thing. You got Bailey Ober going for the Twins. You have Chris Bassett going for Toronto. And Chris Bassett has one of the more interesting splits in all of baseball. On the road, he's unreliable. He has an ERA of 6.10. But when he's at home, he's a stalwart. 8-0 this season, a 2.73 ERA. Bailey Ober has an ERA over 5. And when Bailey Ober takes the mound, the Twins have lost 11 straight games. Blue Jays, money line or run line, I think you have to go with here.
All right, so I found you a minus 160. So I think that's possibly playable. We'll see if it still holds throughout the show, because that's the tricky part, is that our best bets don't come till later in the show. But I think there's a reason we're seeing money come in on Toronto, because I feel like for one of the best teams in baseball, you still get pretty good value on Toronto. I was talking to Jake about this last night, is that I find myself never betting on the Yankees or the Dodgers because they are good teams, but the price is never right on them. I feel like when it comes to the Blue Jays, sometimes the Tigers, and even like a few other teams that you can still get a good price, the Brewers, like you got plus money on their run line last night, that Toronto's good enough where I feel like they're in the circle of trust for me. At home this year, 43-21. As favorites, 34-25. I think you could probably make a good case for the run line as well. On the run line, they've been really good at home this year, 41-23. Which is even more impressive because consider the run line bets for a home favorite. Obviously, you don't play the bottom of the ninth if you're leading. So the fact that they have a winning run line record at home bodes well for Toronto. So I think, you know, if you're interested in some plus money, that is a solid bet for Toronto today against the lackluster Twins, who don't have a great bullpen either. All right, so let's talk about these two games. So we'll start with the Phillies and the Mets. And I was telling you this yesterday. The Phillies have some problem with playing at Citi Field. I don't know what it is, but they are not great when it comes to playing on the road at New York. This is a big divisional series. The Phillies now have, I believe, a 6-game lead after losing last night to the Mets. So I think on first glance, you see this and you say, hey, the Phillies at -115. Lizardo's been great. I know he has a 4.10 ERA, but his last few have been really outstanding. Sean Manaea has not been great for the Mets. I don't know. This one seems fishy to me. Like, when you see a price that feels too good to be true, a lot of times it is.
It is, but I might take it. I might add this to the card the more I look at it. I mean, here's the thing. Sean Manaea started off great, and then he has not been good at all. So the Mets have lost his last 5 straight starts, and during that time, he's given up at least 4 runs in 4 of those starts. Like, here are his last 4 appearances. Loss 7-6, loss 7-6, loss 11-9, loss 9-3. He's been getting run support, so if you think that you think the Mets can hit Jesus Luzardo, then maybe the over is the play. You can maybe play this down from 8 and a hook, play it at 8, go over, or maybe you go over 8 and a hook. We saw a big scoring output from both teams yesterday. But it's hard to trust Manaea based on his last 4 outings. I mean, he has just gotten roughed up from everyone from Seattle to the Nationals.
Yeah, I don't know. I think something about yesterday's game just makes me feel uneasy because I was fully ready to trust Christopher Sanchez last night and gave up a 5 spot. So once again, Jesus Luzardo has great numbers coming in. I think I'm going to stay away, even though normally I can be talked into betting the Phillies. Mm-hmm. The Phillies have just not been great. They are 2-5 in their last 7 trips to Citi Field. So maybe it's something about New York. All right, Diamondbacks Brewers here. The Diamondbacks +140, Brewers -170. So we might have to take the run line again if we're interested in Milwaukee. Brandon Pfaadt is 12-8 with a 4.95 ERA. Jacob Mizrowski gets the ball for the Brew Crew. He's 4-2 with a 4.19 ERA. Total of 8.5 runs. So I was on the Brewers on the run line yesterday, and it was very much a sweat. Do I dare to sweat again? Sometimes I feel like when you have a bet that wins but barely, you're like, all right, I shouldn't push my luck. Are you on the Brewers today?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go... I think I'm going to bet the over is what I'm going to do here. I think I'm going to go over 8. So Brandon Pfaadt has been not great on the road. ERA of 6.50. Now he has to face these Milwaukee bats. And then Mizrowski has been really good, but he hasn't been as good as we saw earlier in the season. Like, I think he absolutely fits that candidate who is starting to slow down a little bit. And it's not, here's the thing, it's not because of wear and tear, because it's not like he's played this full season. We know the whole All-Star controversy, like he barely even played. But I do think when you're a younger guy, especially like a guy like that, like he's not accustomed to the wear and tear of a full Major League Baseball season because he's so young. So he's given up 7 runs in his last 7 1/3. That covers a span of 3 games. He hasn't been going long into games. And while I do like Milwaukee, anytime you're playing the Diamondbacks, the over is something to look at because they can hit the ball still, but also their bullpen is so bad. So I can even see Milwaukee tacking on a couple of runs late. I think I'm going to go over 8. Yeah.
I think this is a solid play for the reason that the Diamondbacks still have some good hitters. Like, I know the Diamondbacks are a non-factor in the playoffs this year just because they've been so hurt. But, like, remember going into the season? Like, this was supposed to be a contender in the NL West. If you look at their top of the lineup, I was watching this game last night. This is why I noticed it. Their first 2 batters are each hitting .290. Luis Perdomo, Ketel Marte, who is a perennial all-star, was supposed to be on the trade block. Then you have Corbin Carroll, who's starting to heat up. He had 2 hits last night. And here's the thing. Brandon Woodruff, who is a quality pitcher, gave up 5 earned runs to this lineup, who also had all kinds of travel issues before this game. The Diamondbacks didn't get in until, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. So the fact they still scored 5 runs in this game, I think they can put up some on the Brewers, especially once Jacob Mizrowski comes out of this game, because we've seen it. He's not somebody who goes deep into games, and the bullpen was worn down last night from both sides. So I do like the over there. All right, coming up next, time to speculate wildly about Justin Herbert and Madison Beer. It's next on the Daily Tip. We're back for more here at the Daily Tip on a Tuesday. So, Jenks, I feel like there are a few, like, characters in pop culture that kind of tell you how locked in you are to the culture. And Madison Beer is one of those. I had heard of her, but I don't really know what she's famous for. So we're going to get to the rumors involving Madison Beer and Justin Herbert. Are they dating? Are we speculating wildly? Most of us are. But let me ask you, did you know who Madison Beer was?
I'd heard of her name. Like, I knew kind of, I was like, I've heard of her. I was like, she's probably some sort of singer, TikTok star. But if you're asking me, like, could I recognize her? Well, I recognize her now. But had I done a deep dive, or could I tell you a bunch of her music now?
Yeah, I don't know any of her songs. Like, maybe I'm going to have to read up, though, because if she is going to be dating Justin Herbert, then it is now part of our culture in the sports world. So maybe I'll have to do some reading up. So this is the new stir with Chargers fans and, of course, NFL fans, because it could be another power couple to add to the list of Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, Haley Steinfeld, Josh Allen. So photos were snapped of the two who looked like they were going to a friend's house. And it did look like a date, because Madison Beer was holding a bottle of wine. And I'm going to say that this is wrong, that TMZ is saying it's a box of chocolates. Because if you zoom in, it is a box of Rummikube. Have you ever played this game? I did a quick Google search. Apparently, it is a tile-like board game. But it's funny, because like some of the first like headlines are, Rummikube has a low skill ceiling and involves zero strategy. Perfect for social time with teens. And I was like, great. Should we be reading into this and saying, no, I'm not reading into Justin Herbert and Madison Beer, but like, is Justin Herbert stupid? But then I did some research, and apparently he graduated with a 401 GPA with a degree in biology. So Justin Herbert, not stupid.
Well, also, if you're an NFL quarterback at a high level, you got to be smart. If you're reading defenses and you know a playbook and you're able to make adjustments to the line of scrimmage, you know what you're doing. It's probably he does so much thinking and so much studying during the week. He's like, the last thing I want to do is play a board game where I got to think some more. Do you know what I mean? It's like when, it's like we always say on this show, like when you've done something for a long time, sometimes you just need a break from it. It's like, I am Commanders later on today, and I don't want to talk football for 45 minutes on the way out there with some stranger. No offense, but we've been talking about it all morning. I'm going to talk about it later. I'll read about it later on. Like, I just want to break for a little bit. So he's probably like, can we just play Go Fish or something like that? You want to play High Card? We'll just turn over, you know? Like, don't give me anything that makes me think, because I'm going to do plenty of that later on today.
Well, and plus, if it's like one of their first dates, like, you don't want to play like Dungeons and Dragons or like something that has like a lot of strategy to it. Like,
why not?
Seems,
that's fine. That'd be great.
But like, my point is that doesn't that have a lot of strategy involved?
Yes.
Like, it just feels like there's too much thinking. You want some air to breathe where you guys can have side conversations. You can learn about each other. So now, should we wildly speculate about this relationship? And should we make that leap and say this will have an impact on how he plays for the Chargers this season? Because you know how people are. Like, this always moves the needle. When athletes are dating fellow celebrities, people like to say either, oh, this guy's going to win MVP, or, oh, this guy's going to be, you know, up his rear end, and, you know, he's not going to be able to think straight, and we're going to blame it all on her. Which thought process do you subscribe to here, or are you a human being with common sense?
I am a human being with common sense. I think this has zero factor on how he's going to play. Like, if you're talking about Taylor Swift, okay, then maybe that is a little bit different, because there's going to be a level of attention that is hard to fathom, right? Like, you walk into a stadium and it's, oh my God. Let's look at her. The cutaways are on her. There's questions about her. There are questions to your teammates about her. It's just a different level of distraction. Here, it's, no offense to Madison Beer, it's, hey, he's dating this really pretty girl who's a singer. Okay. But it's not, this is not going to be something that just like dominates headlines and each and every week where, like, we'll look at it and we'll see it, but it's not so much of a big deal that it will distract him. So I see it as not really anything at all. Like, he's an NFL quarterback. I'm not stunned he's dating an attractive woman.
Yeah, like it makes a lot of sense. He also makes a lot of money. But I think that we have seen proof that if you want to keep your social life somewhat private, you can. Mm-hmm. Like, the only reason we found out about Joe Burrow's girlfriend is because there was a break-in at his house. And he went as far to say, oh, that's my employee. You're like, oh, you employ a model?
Good for you. At your house. Yeah.
But Justin Herbert's super private. Like, I feel like we don't really know that much about him. And I don't know if you follow the Chargers social media, but like, they try to do all this stuff with him and you can tell he's just not into it. So yeah. I think he's just a shy guy, and I would not expect to see like a huge social, you know, like debacle or like show about this supposed relationship.
Well, not at all. Now, that would become a distraction. Like, the last thing you want is to be an NFL quarterback and have a reality show, you know, or someone following you around. That would absolutely take away from the work that you want to do, because at some point you realize the cameras are on you, or you need to do certain things, or sometimes you have to reshoot things. I mean, let's be honest, not all reality shows are just one take and that's the way it is. Sometimes they want you to redo things, and there is some sort of planning involved, but I don't see that happening at all.
Well, it's not even for a reality show. It's for like their social media team, where they're like, hey, Justin, we're asking everybody like their favorite childhood memories. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even a reality show. It's like very quick hitters that the social media team is simply trying to do their job. And he's just like, no, thanks.
Poor guy. He's like, come on. Just throw us a bone here. Throw us a bone here, Justin. He's like, I'd rather go look at some tape. Can you just give us a go, Bolts? Go, Bulls. Mm. Like, no, you got to, can you enunciate it, please? I like Justin Herbert a lot. I think he's a hell of a quarterback. And so I mean, I know it comes to the territory, but there's this misnomer that just because you are great at something, you want the attention to come with it. I mean, some guys sort of bask in that. They love the spotlight. They don't mind it, and they absorb it. And some guys are like, no, I love playing football. This is what I want to do, and I'm not really a big fan of all of this other stuff that comes with it. Joe Burrow is definitely that way, and I feel like Justin Herbert comes across the same way.
Yeah, even though Joe Burrow has like a little bit of that flashiness to him. Like, he bought the Batmobile and he goes to Paris Fashion Week. Like, I feel like Justin Herbert's not really like that. Like, he doesn't have like a flashy side to him. He feels like a salt of the earth guy, because I don't really know that much about him. And he is one of the premier quarterbacks in the NFL. All right, so we did have some trades over the last day, over the last 24 hours, and we had some former quarterbacks going to, or not former, former player, well, let me rephrase that. Quarterbacks who used to play for other teams that are now finding their landing spot somewhere else. So let me ask you, which of these moves was more questionable? The Raiders trading for Kenny Pickett, the Eagles trading for Sam Howell, or the Vikings signing Carson Wentz? I feel like there is a clear winner here for the most questionable move, but we'll see what you say.
I think it's the Eagles trading for Sam Howell. Like, I don't... What am I missing here? Denton, am I missing something? Like, I will say there was a time, it was a very short time in the preseason here, where it was like, Sam Howell is the guy. Sam Howell's going to be the guy. I mean, you talk about just like holding on to hope just for hope's sake. You're like, I think he's the guy. And then the regular season hit, and you're like, oh, he's not the guy. He holds on to the football way too long. I do not, like, Kenny Pickett at least has some sort of game management experience. Carson Wentz is okay. You're getting a veteran backup, a guy who can come in case of injury, who's been there, done that. Sam Howell, I just do not understand. You're trading for him?
Right, yeah.
That's the thing. If you're like, we signed him, we'll throw him in the practice squad or whatever. Or maybe he can be a third stringer. But trading for him is something I don't get. Maybe you feel like he's some sort of reclamation project that maybe, but why would you spend that sort of capital or any time on someone who is not a starter in the National Football League? I mean, they have Jalen Hurts. I don't understand it. Do you?
I don't either, because Tanner McKee also had a great preseason,
mm-hmm.
like at least the game that I saw. So they already have like another quarterback on the roster, Tanner McKee. So I don't know why you would trade for somebody unless you didn't have faith in Tanner McKee, which, you know, maybe you don't. But it also was interesting to me that people are still signing Carson Wentz. Like, in this economy, like, the verbiage also matters here, because I think you're right. When you trade for somebody, it means a little bit more. So, like, nobody was trading for Carson Wentz. They simply signed him. But, like, man, how long is this going to go on? I have lost all faith in Carson Wentz, and I think most people have. But you're right. He's an NFL veteran. He's played for a ton of teams. Mm-hmm. And he does have a good command of, like, managing a offense. And that's why I think the move for the Raiders trading for Kenny Pickett is not surprising, because they said something in a press conference to the effect of, hey, we're going to go look for a quarterback that has some experience that can make our team better. So, like, mm-hmm. obviously Kenny Pickett was one of those, you know, speculative quarterbacks that they were going to go out and get. So it makes a lot of sense. And, of course, Geno Smith is going to be the starter. So I don't think any of these moves really in the long run matter too much.
Right.
But we say this all the time, and quarterbacks get hurt all the time. So backup quarterbacks, I think, matter more than people want them to matter in the NFL.
Oh, they absolutely do. I know mm-hmm. when you see a Carson Wentz, you're like, oh, my God, like, what are you doing? But he's not signed to be your starter. Would you rather have Spencer Rattler? You know?
No.
No. Would you rather
have... Let me think about it. No.
Would you rather have Will Levis? Would you rather have
healthy?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's like, would you rather have Davis Mills? So it, you know, if you're maybe, but ultimately this is and when you have a veteran, like, honestly, when you have a rookie like a J.J. McCarthy, or who a second year player like J.J. McCarthy, having a veteran who's probably a good locker room guy who can learn the offense and sort of be a nice veteran guide there and also be a nice fill-in in that second spot, I think there's value there as long as you're not giving up anything. So I have no issue with that.
Yeah, I think every team should have at least one veteran quarterback on the roster. If nothing else, just to teach the young guys, you know, what to expect. And I will say that's the one thing the Saints don't have. Jake Haener, Tyler Shough, Spencer Rattler. Once again, nightmare blunt rotation for the Saints. They could use Carson Wentz. All right, coming up next here on the show, we'll go through the biggest headlines in the NFL, including Terry McLaurin finally getting paid. That's next here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.